I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Start some trouble and call the fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
New York City. It's Friday night, November 1st. As we proceed to give you what you need.
888-808-1019. Your boy KM on the fan, KM to 2 a.m., Keith McPherson talking sports. The Yankees are eliminated, the season's over. The Mets been eliminated, season over. Baseball's done. But now, the offseason begins. Now, all the talk and speculation starts to kick up about who are we signing? Who are we re-signing? What's this team going to look like? What does this team need? What do we need to do next? And, I mean, if you're a Yankees fan, if you're a Mets fan, if you're a baseball fan, you know that that's part of the fun as well. I used to have my DMs closed on Instagram. I opened them back up. Gary Vee told me to open them back up, so I did. And now I'm getting all these DMs from Yankee fans about, oh, this is what we got to do. We got to get Santander. We got to get Christian Walker. Maybe we try to sign Pete Alonso. Wait. Everybody relax. But the following free agents are now floating out there from your 2024 New York Yankees. Tim Hill, Clay Holmes, Tommy Kahnle, Jonathan Loaisiga. You forgot about J-Lo. You forgot about him because he's hurt every year. I'm good on it. I mean, if they sign him for pennies, maybe have him come back. But he's been hurt every year. What a disappointment. I mean, he was supposed to be our next great closer, right? He was supposed to be our next great bullpen weapon. Never materialized. Gleyber Torres, floating. Alex Verdugo, not coming back. Juan Soto. Will Juan Soto sign back with the New York Yankees if all things are equal and the offer gets matched? Kevin in Hartford. Sorry, JP, I clicked the wrong button. Kevin, you get to go first.
Well, Keith, as usual, thank you for doing what you do so it makes it easy with what I do. The World Series was anything but easy.
It was easy for the Dodgers. Yeah,
the only ghost that showed up at Yankee Stadium were the Yankees.
Yeah, Judge for the first three games.
But I would like Juan Soto back because that 14 WAR is going to be hard to replace. But looking at reality, if he doesn't come back, I think we give Dominguez his shot. Possibly maybe halfway through the year, give Spencer Jones his shot.
Teoscar Hernandez can play left field.
Hernandez. Tyler O'Neill. He's another free agent. He's got a 6.8 WAR. And then as far as pitching, I mean, we could use that money. How about Corbin Burnes? You know, with his him and Cole have the same WAR, 7.2, and I think Burnes is like 3 or 4 years younger. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to throw a dark horse starting pitch. I'm going to throw another dark horse pitcher out there. I think he has a club option. Kikuchi is a free agent, possibly.
You say Kikuchi. Yeah, he's shoved against us enough times.
You know, we have Kikuchi, Hill, Burnes, and Cole. I mean, that's a pretty good start and four.
How do we get rid of Carlos Rodon? How do we send Carlos Rodon?
I forgot about Rodon. You know what? That's so sad. I forgot about Rodon.
But yeah, because the experience has been forgettable. How do we get Rodon out of here? We don't need him.
You can't DFA that contract. I mean, if George was still around, you could. But but anyway, let's get on, man. Like we talked last week, let's just enjoy life. It's over. We're fans. Yeah. We're sad. We're hurt. The Dodgers are cocky. We'll see you again. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, and, they're doing the LeBron. Not one. Not two. Yeah. Not three. They think they're about to win back to back. They think they're about to three-peat. Okay.
So, you know, let's get into it's basketball season. I'm a Knicks fan, and out of all my teams, Keith, that's the only one I've never seen win. I've seen the Giants win. I've seen the Yankees win. I've seen the Rangers win. I've never gotten that parade. So that parade would be wonderful. So with that being said, I'll let you go. Have a good night, and thanks as always.
Thanks for the call, Kevin. I mean, the Knicks parade, as I talk about when we get our parade here in New York with one of the major sports, the Yankees parade would be huge, but I think the Knicks parade is probably the one right under it. And I say that because, like, the Yankees are global, even in this World Series. I talked to people. People flew from as far west as Montana, as far south as Florida, other country. Like, people flew in. It was literally the World Series. Like, Yankee fans from across the world came to New York for these three home games. The fan base is massive. And I know the Knicks fan base is massive, too. But that's really just, like, here in New York. You know what I'm saying? It's, like really, like, if we were to compare, you know, in theory, what we thought the parades would look like, I think the Yankees would have the biggest one. But I think the Knicks would be the second one. And right now, the Knicks have the third best. And I know gambling doesn't matter and Vegas doesn't matter. But right now, the Knicks have the third best odds to win the NBA Finals. I think it's early in the season. Obviously, they're 3-2. No one's writing home about them beating the 1-5 Detroit Pistons. But that's what you're supposed to do. But either way, right, Jalen Brunson goes out there. You know who he is, 36 points. Karl Anthony Towns has 21 points, 7 assists, 11 rebounds in 27 minutes, light work. It's starting to come together. OG has 21 points, 6 assists, 4 rebounds in 33 minutes. Mikal Bridges is better suited as not a first, second, third option, as like a guy that's just there playing defense, can hit some corner threes, and the focus isn't on him. 888-808-1019. I'm going to keep talking Yankees, but every chance I get to slip in something about the Knicks or the Rangers or the Jets or the Giants, we're going to do that. It's wide open. Football Friday, soon to be Saturday on The Fan. Now let's go to JP. Sorry I didn't get to you first. In Nanuet, New York, you're on The Fan.
How are you, Keith?
I'm all right. Thanks for calling.
So Tuesday I called in and spoke to Evan Cheeky, and I said, you know, no matter what, win or lose, even if the Yankees somehow miraculously come back and won, I still think Boo must go. And they laughed. They laughed off. Now that they lost, and the way they lost, I've been saying it for the past year and a half, 2 years almost, Boone's got to go. We cannot put up with Boone as a manager anymore.
Multiple fireable offenses. Multiple fireable offenses on the world stage with that much on the line, with that high of stakes. We all know. I told you guys all season, Boone is safe. No matter what happens, whether they lose in the DS, CS, World Series, Boone is safe.
The boss is still around, I don't think he would be.
Yeah, but not even just the boss. If some other bosses were around, he wouldn't be. There would be some other people that were pissed off with getting embarrassed like that in the World Series, where they're writing articles about how you're not prepared, how your fundamentals are flawed, how your team got exposed. And that's a reflection on the leadership, the management.
Or the Dodgers scouting report. All you got to do is put the ball in play, and they'll hurt themselves.
Yep, because they're allowed to be lazy. They're allowed to be lackadaisical. They're allowed to make mistakes and errors and have their jobs the next day, be in the lineup the next day.
So,
that's the culture.
You know, there's some big names coming up for free agency this year, too, you know?
Mm-hmm. Let's see what Cashman does. Cashman strikes me as one. Last year, coming off of 82-80, he told everybody in the world, I think I'm pretty effing good. I think we're pretty effing good. So he strikes me as someone that is sleeping fine, knowing that they got back to the World Series. And this year, that 15-year drought talk, erased. That pennant talk, erased. And yeah, even though they failed, the margin of error, when you look at certain numbers, I think they're going to just chalk it up to that's baseball, Susan. And that's not fair. That's not Susan's brand of baseball. That's the Yankees' brand of baseball.
Lately, yep. What you feeling on Rizzo?
Goodbye.
Bye.
Yeah. Later, bro. Oh, I wasn't talking to you. He just hung up. I mean, like, Rizzo. Like, like, I just look at Rizzo like, bruh, you didn't even run towards the bag. You didn't. Like, you fielded that ball. And, like, I don't know. Is it old age where you just blinded by the lights, paralyzed in the moment, stunned? Where was the urgency? This is the World Series. You're facing elimination. You didn't run towards the bag at all. You took a couple. That's Mookie Betts. Paulie was just asking me about, I'll never forget it, man. I'll never forget it. And I will never sit in that section of Yankee Stadium again. I had a perfect view of everything. I was six rows back from the outfield in left field. I watched Judge get caught up with that ball just like, I don't know what the hell that was. And then I watched Volpe and Kike Hernandez run past him and him spike the ball in the dirt and Jazz not being able to handle it. And then the most damning was watching it. We had the last out as Mookie Betts is running. And then I'm looking at the base, and I'm like, what the hell is Cole doing? Wait, what the hell is Rizzo doing? No! My wife can tell the story better than me. She'll never do the radio, but my wife can tell the story because, like, in real time, Yankee fans were so excited, cheering. Like, I think I told you two nights ago on the fan, like, Judge dropped that pop-up. They're chanting MVP. I was mad as hell. You're chanting MVP? He just dropped a pop-up. Paulie asked me, like, did you know? I'm like, yeah, because if you watch enough baseball, when you have a can of corn, when you have a line out right to the center fielder's glove and it hits his glove and you don't make that play and there's already a runner on, trouble's a-brewing. No matter how it shakes out, that was a 5-0 shutout. I knew trouble was on the way. And they go as Judge goes. So, man, I will never get that out of my vision, my mind, where I was in Yankee Stadium live watching that. I watched it on the highlight because, oh, yeah, you know, everybody's trolling the hell out of the Yankees. They have just the fifth inning available for people to watch on Twitter. And people are sending it, and people are putting it as the worst inning in the worst defensive inning in World Series history.
And they're doing that because it was. Like, no one cares.
No, it was a little league inning.
It was one of the crazier things I've seen. Like, three egregious errors that you absolutely cannot make that is not on the shoulders of Aaron Boone or Brian Cashman or Hal Steinbrenner. That is on Aaron Judge and Anthony Volpe and Jazz Chisholm and Anthony Rizzo and Garrett
but
Cole.
But you know why the owner, the GM, and the manager get flagged for that? Because this has gone on all year. They play guys out of position like Jazz Chisholm at third base. They let guys loaf it to first base. They let guys make mistakes in the field, and they say, it's okay, buddy. You'll get in tomorrow. You'll be in the lineup. No repercussions, right? It's a culture of not great, just good enough. It's a culture of, you're going to make mistakes, and that's fine. And so when the lights are brightest and the pressure hits, you get exposed.
If his name wasn't Aaron Judge, he would have been cut already. That's how egregious that error was. That's how egregious him dropping. But if his name wasn't
Trent Grisham,
Aaron Judge,
yeah, if that's Trent Grisham, goodbye.
He's gone.
You can't ever put the jersey on again.
You can't put now. Again, obviously, I understand you can't cut Aaron Judge and Garrett Cole and Anthony Rizzo and Anthony Volpe and Jazz
Chisholm
for mistakes. You can't do that. But how? He took his eye off the ball. And I don't want. Don't give me a guy
yeah,
lost
was looking
in the
at
lights.
First base.
Don't give me a guy lost
Kike
in the lights.
He was on first.
He's a center fielder in Major League Baseball. Make the play.
And that's what the Dodgers knew. Put pressure on them. Make them think a little bit. Put pressure on them on the base pass. Why are you looking at the guy on first base? Catch the freaking ball. You know what I thought? The inning before he wowed us, running to his right, off the wall, robbing Freddie Freeman of an extra base hit. And he got up kind of slow, and I'm like, Judge has been hit by pitch. He was hit by pitch in the ALCS. He was hit by pitch the night before. I'm like, he's a little banged up. I'm like,
he went into the wall hard. That's a good point.
Yeah, and I'm like, I'm thinking about all of this in the game. And then when he drops that ball, I'm like, I am melting in myself. I'm going into shock. A chill is coming over my body. I'm like, they are folding. They are pissing down their leg. They're about to give. They gave 5 runs up in that inning. And I'm like, there's no way they recover. And they did take the lead, but then we had to go to Tommy Changeups.
And it's funny how, and it always works like this in sports, specifically in baseball, how you have an outfielder or a third baseman or anybody on defense make an electric play. It happens in a no-hitter or perfect game all the time. There's always that one play that's insane that a fielder just makes. And then there's other times where it's a can of corn and they just drop it.
Baseball is like that.
And
it's
Judge
crazy.
Makes that incredible catch on Freddie Freeman at the wall. Freddie, who's been killing the Yankees the entire series, and then he can't catch a fly ball.
Yeah, it was just the inning before. It's absolutely insane. And then, like, I don't know. I'm taking calls because I don't want to talk about it. Somebody else talk about it. Moose is in Jamaica. Right. Moose, what's up? You're on the Fan.
You're King. What's good?
You're, what up?
Oh, man, bro.
Sorry to bring you down, reliving that. We're gonna. I'm going to be telling my son, and not to cut you off, I swear, anybody that can hear my voice, I'm a God-fearing man. I put my son to bed tonight. I'm praying over him. And he said, baseball, Yankees. And I'm like, nah, the season's over, son. No more of that. We like in the craziest way, I'm trying to pray for, dear Lord, thank you for this child. Well, he's baseball, Yankees. I'm like, Jackson, no. I'm like, you will never remember 82-80. You will never remember this World Series.
Oh, man. That is the sweet. It's a Full House. Can I get the Full House music in the background? Oh, my goodness. So for what it's worth, remember when I told you in, like, I think it was, like, July or August? If the Yankees are legit going to have this all-or-nothing carried on from the eons of winning the 27 championship World Series of Bust or whatever, they need to look in the mirror, work billions of percent harder, win every day. Like, so obviously, all the news coming out exposing how we've been slacked off for the past 20-some-odd years since we last won back-to-back titles, that notwithstanding. The point of my call is, now Brian Cashman, the brain trust, how and what they're going to do financially with the contracts to make it sustainable. If we don't get Soto, there are options.
I kind of like
if Cody Bellinger opt out of his deal, to give him a similar type of deal he got with Chicago to play first.
Okay.
And at the same time, possibly get Randall Grichuk to replace Soto on a 1-year deal, wait for Spencer Jones to get back, and pick up a middle infielder like Jorge Polanco or Adam Frazier, who the Yankees have been looking at for a while.
To play second? I'm taking Grichuk and I'm putting him in left field. I'm putting Judge back in right field where he belongs.
Obviously. And at the same time, if that doesn't work, what we should have done 3-4 years ago was possibly trade for Brian Reynolds before he even got that extension, which was on the cheap from the Pirates. But maybe we can pick him up now. That's all I have to say. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for the call, Moose. Yeah, Brian Reynolds came here and he was hitting home runs that last homestand. Maybe if the Yankees would have won, I don't know, those series against the Pirates and the Orioles, where they dropped 2 out of 3, maybe those 4 games, I don't know, would have helped them get home field advantage? No, wouldn't. They would have the same record and the Dodgers would have had the tiebreaker. Yeah, but I don't know. They lost a bunch of games this season to teams that they shouldn't have lost to. Yo, being a fan of this stuff day in and day out, it's addicting. It becomes part of your daily routine, but then when it's over, it is like, I don't know. You can't get rid of it. You can't forget it. You're going to randomly think about it. It's like haunting. It's like, no way, yo. No way. They lost games to the Angels that they weren't supposed to lose. They lost a series to the Nationals that they weren't supposed to lose. They lost to, I know you guys remember. It wasn't that long ago. They lost to the Tigers. The Tigers, I was like, Tigers actually were a great story and got better, whatever. They lost 12-2 to the Chicago White Sox. First game of that series. Oh, boy. They got to figure something out, man. And figure this out. Juan Soto, and now Juan Soto is not a Yankee. So for you Juan Soto lovers out there, go ahead and be honest. He is not a great defender in right field. In this World Series, you saw mistakes in right field. You saw him not hustle and get to balls that dropped. You saw him not be able to cut off and stop a ball from Kike Hernandez that gets to the wall. You saw him not being in the right position in the field where balls are hit over the head. Like, Susan did an interview with Foul Territory, my guys at Foul Territory today, where she talked about it because it was in the article These guys didn't even know where to line up right. You're supposed to know where to line up for each batter. They didn't even know where to line up in the field correctly. That's an indictment on the entire organization. The owner, the general manager, the coaches, the scouting department. 888-808-1.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I thought we were going to talk about the Rangers. Versus, I don't know. I thought you guys want to talk about the Jets' playoff chances. I knew it was going to come back to the Yankees. Keith McPherson on the Fan. We got to break it down. We got to play some other sounds. When we come back, more of your calls on the Yankees. And I see a Mets call. Mets fan, I'm going to you first. BRB.
Your official station to talk Giants. The Fan. 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app.
California knows how to party. They had a party in downtown LA all the way to Chavez Ravine with every Dodger fan out there, from the Dodger fan that blew his hand off to Ice Cube to, you know, Magic Johnson. I don't know. They were all out there. In a couple minutes, we'll play what I was talking about with this Fat Joe curse, how the Yankees are being mocked, how us Yankee fans are being trolled to infinity and beyond. And you just wait, Yankee fans. You just wait. If you think you're in a hell now, there's a different level of Dante's Inferno. When Steve Cohen says, I'm rich AF. I don't care what it costs to put Juan Soto in right field. Kind of how he was on the trail for Yamamoto. But Yamamoto grew up rooting for the Dodgers. Yamamoto was always going from the World Baseball Classic to join forces with Shohei and play for the other team in LA. And they strategically used the Mets to drive that price up. Now, I don't think Juan Soto is trying to go to LA, and I don't honestly think that the Dodgers are going to pursue him, even though that report came out after Game 3, just to kick us while we were down, right? Yeah, you're down 3-0, and rumor is the Dodgers plan on pursuing Juan Soto. Everybody in baseball should be pursuing Juan Soto. Everybody should be checking on it, because he stood there and said, I'm available to all 30 teams. But we absolutely know who the richest owner in the sport is. We absolutely know how Steve Cohen came in spending. And just now, because he has David Stearns, who's going to smart spend, don't sleep. Do not sleep. If it really is all about the Benjamins, Scott Boras has a great relationship with Steve Cohen. Steve Cohen was on vacation. He called Steve Cohen and said, hey, Carlos Correa is available. It didn't work with the Giants. You in? Yeah. How much you want? Done. Now, it didn't get done because of the medical physicals, whatever. But Juan Soto is young, healthy, and ready to be the highest paid player. And if you think you're in hell now as a Yankees fan, there is a different level of hell when Juan Soto stays in New York and has a press conference being announced as a New York Met with a $700 million contract for 15 years to play in Queens.
Does he have to go to the Mets for the Yankee fan to be in hell? Like, if he signed with Toronto or Baltimore or the Dodgers.
Nope. It's specifically if he stays here and goes right across town where, like, you can't avoid that.
Right, where you're
If he's playing in L.A., he's playing in a different time zone. His games are starting at 10 p.m.
Yeah. I guess the issue is if he stays in New York, he's telling the Yankee fans that the Mets have a better chance of winning more over the next 10 years than the Mets.
It's not about winning, Paulie. I didn't say anything about winning. I said money.
What if we find out that Steve Cohen offered him $700 million and Hal offered him $650?
He's going to take that $50 million more. It's $50 million more.
I understand that, but I just think at one point it's going to get to the fact of maybe he just goes for the money. But I think he's also telling you that he likes the future of the team that he's going to. He's going to want to win a World Series at one point, right?
Yes.
So I think if he goes...
He already won one. He's going to want to win one again. Yes.
Yes. He's going to want to... And if he thinks the Mets have a better chance in the next 10 years... I don't think it's about that.
Baseball is too unpredictable. He had a great chance with the team he was on. I think he loved... I went to hella games this year. I sat in 203 for the roll call. I don't know how many times. I watched that man and how much he enjoyed playing in right field in Yankee Stadium.
I'm not squatting. I'm not saying
now that is done. Now that is done.
I'm not saying
there is. There is no discount. There is no advantage.
Right.
I thought. I'm like, oh, the Yankees have a leg up. Now that it ended the way it ended, and you heard what that man said,
it was very interesting. Right after you get your heart taken out, and he's like,
your clubhouse with your quote unquote brothers. You guys just went through a traumatic experience crumbling like that in the fifth inning. And you are Boris Korp. It gave me vibes of Gerrit Cole when Gerrit Cole lost with the World Series with the Astros. And he put on the damn Boris Korp hat. He was so done. He was so out of there. I understand. The Yankees were with Juan Soto for a year. Juan Soto was with the Yankees for one season. He's been with Scott Boras since he was a teenager. They have been preparing him for this moment for years. And no pinstripes, no roll call, no short porch, no best offensive season that he's had, hitting in front of Aaron Judge, changes what the whole goal is, what the coaching has done, what the script is, and how they're going about this free agency.
Right. And isn't it crazy that, like, a month ago or 2 months ago, that conversation that me and you were having right now wasn't even in the heads of Yankees fans. Because they were just pretty sure that he loves it in the Bronx at the barber shop and this, that, and the everything, right?
But that's part of it, too.
The vibes were there.
Queens is not far from the things that he got acquainted with in New York, being a New York Yankee. He can still get to those things from Queens.
He can. And I also think maybe if it's like a fun thing, and maybe it's not a big deal, but maybe it is, of like how much fun the Mets had, and it's so buttoned up with the Yankees.
Put a pin in that, because that's actually one of my next thoughts that we will get to. Let's go to Brian in Monmouth County. Brian, you're on the Fan.
Jeez, what's going on,
man? You know, talking the talk.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, before I get to the Mets, if I hear another Yankee fan talk about fiery Boone after going all the way to the World Series, I'm going to go crazy.
I was trying to fire Boone in 2021 after he lost a wild card game in Boston, but here we are. I told you guys he's safe. They're not going to fire him after getting to the World Series and ending the drought, but the way that he made mistakes from game one all the way through, they are fireable offenses, but we know he's safe.
Yeah, no, I get it. But to the Mets, the lovable losers, if you're given the keys to the Cohen Castle, I know the obvious answer is to bolster up the bullpen or go after Juan Soto, but what are some of the things that you would do to make the team better? I know the pitching, questionable. You don't know what you're going to get from him.
If the Mets had, and I know Sean Manaea became an ace, but if the Mets actually had an ace, what you guys got to see in this postseason is how much it matters to have that guy. Have that ace. That's what postseason baseball is about. If you have one or two guys that you can rely on like that, like a Yamamoto, like a Walker Buehler, and even a Flaherty some, it changes the dynamic of the series because your bullpen doesn't get taxed, and it's a chess game later on where you save innings and you save bullets. The Mets have to focus on pitching first. They have to focus on it. Like, Sean Manaea, cool. He's there. He's got a two-year contract. Severino might come back, but like, you need a Corbin Burns if you can get him. You need somebody that you can game one, hand the ball to, and know this guy's going to shove. Corbin Burns did shove in his one appearance for the Orioles. I think he's a guy you can rely on. Also, the bullpen. That bullpen was so makeshift this year. That bullpen, it just had all different shapes and sizes, and then when you did get to the end, you realize, like, Jose Buto, who was a weapon in the regular season, it's different in the postseason. Like, I think they need to shore up the pitching first. But, of course, if you were in like you were in on Yamamoto, who everybody, like, suppose there were nine teams in on Yamamoto, including the Yankees, including the Dodgers, including the Phillies, including a couple other teams. If you were willing to go that far in the chase for Yamamoto, I'm talking about far, like, fly to Japan, far, like, Steve Cohen letting this man come to his estate, far, like, This was a player that we thought was going to cost $250 million, ended up costing $325 million. I think you're going to do the same for Juan Soto. I think you do more.
What's your opinion on the Mets, the role, or David Peterson's role moving forward? I feel like he showed signs of being really good, so we can rely on
him. He's a good fourth or fifth starter.
Yeah, I feel like they could have possibly used him in the playoffs more.
It shows you what they think about him. Now, I called him an unsung hero for the first month that he was really getting it in, but like he was doing ace-like things at times. He was going deep into games at times. He was a hell of a surprise this year. But I don't think you look at him as like he's a good guy to have, especially if there's injuries. He's a back-of-the-rotation guy.
Yeah, you're right. And if I could, just one really random question. Freddie Freeman, do you think this postseason solidifies him in Cooperstown one day?
Yeah. Yeah. Of course. Yeah. I just know too much about Freddie Freeman. Thanks for the call. I think I put out a tweet that I got like thousands of views and hundreds of retweets and likes. It's because Yankee fans were hating on Freddie Freeman. Scum. That's another thing. Yankee fans, as much as I love y'all, a lot of y'all I don't claim. A lot of y'all I would never rock with. I would never talk to. That, oh boy. That first watch party at Billy's that Friday night. Some goofy-ass Yankee fans pulled up to where we were in the front. It was me, Jake. Jake is from the Bronx Zoo. And we had a couple girls with us that were friends with his girlfriend and girls that we knew, you know, just Yankee fans. And we had the front and center. It was our party. We promoted the party. And I could tell these were the poser, wannabe, Johnny-come-lately Yankee fans. I could just tell by their gear. I could just tell by their fits, like what they were wearing. And they were drunk as hell. And they wanted to be in the middle, in the ambiance. They wanted to be seen. So they pushed their way to the front. It was packed in there. And we're dead center because we had been there the whole time. And we're down, you know, we get Ohtani out. We're down to our last outs. And they want to be there to, like, take their TikTok videos and bask in it. And one of the dudes, like, bumps one of the girls. And I'm like, yo, respect our space. I, like, had to literally shoulder this dude. Like, yo, you weren't over here. This is our space. This is our spot. Like, don't try and pull up and Debo the spot. Don't try and pull up and, like, push your weight into our spot. Like, stand where we were. We've been here the whole game. Now you want to get here for the last out? It was bad vibes. It was bad energy. Next thing you know, Nestor Cortez throws that pitch. Freddie Freeman rocks it out. I looked at these dudes in the face, and I walked out. I'm like, that energy, that's the same type of energy of the fans that were in there. Freddie Freeman's doing the stand up to cancer thing, writes his mom's name. He lost his mother to cancer. And Yankee fans are yelling, F you, Freddie. You suck, Freddie Freeman. Freddie hits that grand slam. He hits the homer. He literally just absolutely went off on us. And Yankee fans are talking about, I hate Freddie Freeman. My wife even said, I hate Freddie Freeman. I can't stand Freddie Freeman. I'm like, chill. I'm like, you might like him if you actually knew about him. Like, if you actually knew what this guy has gone through in his life, like, he's winning right now. God is smiling on him. He's gone through hell to get this moment, to get this dream. Like this, I'm not mad at him. I'm mad at the Yankees pitching to him. I'm mad at the Yankees sleeping on him, thinking that he has a bum ankle. We all did. He wasn't effective in the Mets series. But you know what? He had a week off to rest, get ready, and prepare. What the hell were the Yankees doing during that time? Peacocking around. What were the Yankees doing? They weren't preparing. They weren't tightening up the screws. They weren't hitting their scouting report. They were getting cute, like, oh, we're going to get Nestor Cortez back. And you know what? The first opportunity we have for him to face Ohtani, we're punching it. 888-808-1019. Like, goofy wannabe fans that show up to Billy's, not pay a dollar, don't know much about the team, just want to get drunk, just want to be on TV, just want to, you know, make a video for social media. It brought out, the World Series brought out some of the worst of our fans. Like the guy trying to mug Mookie Betts for the ball and saying, oh, I had to D up. We protect that wall. What are you talking about, bro? Security protects that wall from people like you. What are you talking? This is Yankee Stadium. You don't own that wall. You barely own those seats. You make us all look bad reaching over and grabbing Mookie Betts' arm like that. He paid us back, didn't he? What did I tell y'all too after that? I said, don't be surprised. Mookie Betts said, I'm fine. Nobody's hurt. It's not a big deal. But Mookie Betts came to play. I mean, he ultimately hit that ball to Rizzo that changed everything. 888-808-1019. Yankee fans out in the back of Yankee Stadium behind center field chanting like, Poppy wears makeup. Poppy wears makeup, where they're like, they're saying that, Yankee fans are doing a roll call for Poppy. That's got nothing to do with the roll call. Those are not bleacher creatures over there. Those are not creatures over there. But it is what it is. Now we're getting mocked. Now we're getting trolled. Now we're literally a laughing stock, a joke. Because we have guys like Jazz Chisholm, who every time they pop bottles, we're going to the World Series, we're going to win it. It's all about winning 28, baby. You just got here, yo. Chill. We've been putting in pain for 15 years. Don't talk like that with your big-ass chains. I could give a damn about those chains you wear. Be ready to play. Shut up. Talk is cheap. Everything else around here is expensive. The talk is cheap. Alex Verdugo, big-ass chain. Those two look like clowns. Alex Verdugo bopping his head to Ice Cube. Jazz Chisholm bopping his head to Fat Joe. I hope you're enjoying the concert. You're not a fan. Lock in. This is the World Series. Lou is in Astoria. Lou, you're on the fan. I'm sorry for yelling.
Hey, Keith. How are you?
I'm good.
Wow, man. It was not too long ago when Jazz was your favorite player. But
hell no. Hell no. You got the wrong guy.
100% what you just said.
Hell no. You got the wrong guy. Jazz was never nobody's favorite player over here.
Go back and turn number 13 back. Anyway, listen, you have a son that sooner or later is going to be playing Little League. And I'm going to tell you something. What really broke my heart was Mr. George dropping that fly ball to center field. My son is in the playoffs and the finals to win the champion, to be a champion. And he makes a tremendous play, just like George did, between left field and right field fly ball. Keith, this first and second, okay? And we're winning by two runs. No, the bases are loaded. Fly ball to my son, right at him. Just the same fly ball that Judge had, okay? You know what my son did? And you can never believe this. He ran away from the fly ball and like he was scared. You know what it was? A butterfly that was in his face. Okay? This was right there by Rikers Island where they play a little league. I cry and I'm still hurt for what Judge did. And remind me of my son, that was a twice. I hope there doesn't happen to you. You're still probably going to be. I mean, he got the DNA better than me. But anyway, let me say something real quick about a player from the Yankees that never gets mentioned, okay? And his name is Bernie Williams, okay? I don't understand why is it John Sterling and the WFAN calling up the home runs for Derek Jeter, Knobloch, Posada, Judge, and Bernie Williams, who was the best player in the 90s for the Yankees, and I want you to check this out, who won a batting title, a gold glove, and a championship in the same year, does not get mentioned, does not get any credit. What is your thought about that?
I don't know, man. You know there was some stuff with Bernie retiring, and Bernie almost was a Red Sox. I love Bernie.
He didn't go there, so is Jeter. If they would have given him a contract to Jeter, when cash on Tolliver, here's $6 million, go on the side. If Boston would have given him $20 million, he would have been
Bernie
done.
Bernie told me straight up he never wanted to go to Boston. He just wanted his respect. He wanted to be paid. He wanted to be treated.
And George was the one that kept him back because it was Cashman again. Cashman, as a matter of fact, his last year, he was one of the best hitters in the second half of the season, and he was not offered to go to spring training. Disrespect the man.
Thanks for the call, Lou. Let me, I'll speak on all of that. I love Bernie Williams. Like, as a man, he's been extremely kind to me. Lou, if you're still listening, go to my Instagram and look for the video of me in the Your shirt. It looks like the WFAN logo. It says Your, because I start the show, Your. It's a New York thing. It's a picture of me in front of the WFAN logo, Your. If you go to that, that was me going live after the Yankees lost as I sat in here realizing I'm not going to have a long show. I'm going to probably be on for 9 minutes. And what I was saying was just like how defeated I was, how disappointed I am, because that's not the Yankees. That's not the Yankee way. That's not the pinstripe pride. That's not what we watch on Yankeeology or Yankees Classic or Yankeeography, rather. Like that's not the Yes Network stuff that we've watched, grew up on. That's not the stuff that you can Google and look at. Like, this is a different generation of Yankees stuff that I have no idea about, honestly. And now that I'm a grown-ass man, I realize Santa Claus isn't real. Peter Pan, you got to leave Never Never Land and just realize, like, that's over with. And with this social media era and what we have now, this ain't it, right? There aren't guys that clutch up in those moments the same way as a Bernie Williams. Yeah, Stanton, but he's a one-way player. Yeah, Soto, but, like, even Soto, where was Soto after the first couple games? Like, and I mentioned Bernie's name. And like I said, yo, shout out to Jeter, shout out to Posada, shout out to Pettit, shout out to Mo. And what we had is kids. I said, man, shout out to Bernie Williams. And Bernie wrote on that post. And he said, we all feel it, with a heartbreak emoji. He said, I felt it. And you remember the feeling and it fuels you. Because in my video, I said, you know what? I hope that these Yankees learn from this. That they take this and they realize it ain't over till it's over. You got to finish every play, every game. I hope it drives them insane. I hope it drives them to go lift weights in the middle of the night when they can't sleep. I hope it drives them to go to the batting cage multiple times. I hope it drives them to watch film and do things to get better, yo. Like, this should be the start of an origin story of a Yankees comeback. And Bernie said, we all feel it. I felt it. And you remember the feeling and it fuels you all winter long. And you get up and you come back better and stronger and more focused with unfinished business. That's how we did it. And that's how we won all those championships. Those guys did it together. Those guys knew what they represented. They knew what was on the line. They knew that they could not let this city down or they would never live it down. What the hell was that on Wednesday? That wasn't a bunch of guys fearing letting the city down. That wasn't a bunch of guys knowing what they represent, their history, what those pinstripes mean. That was ridiculous. And that's why I say it's a joke when you got guys like Jazz. I don't know what Lou was smoking tonight on a Friday night talking about your favorite player. Never that. Never said that. I support everybody black. I'm rooting for everybody black. I didn't mind seeing a black player come through with some speed, with some swag. But it's not about that if you don't come through. He was a ghost in the beginning of the postseason. He did some things in the World Series, but not enough for that big-ass chain around your neck. And then even media day, you got these big-ass pandas. I don't give a damn about that. The Yankees are a place where you come to the Yankees, you got to shave your beard. You got to cut your hair. You got to get in line. It ain't about you. You don't even get your name on the back of the jersey. So why do you need to do all these extra little things to stand out? Stand out with your play. Stand out with your playmaking. And that's what I was talking about. Put a pin in that, Paulie. Juan Soto is already clean shaven. Juan Soto, everybody knows. He doesn't need that. But like, when you talk about fun, the Mets had a lot of fun this year. They had things pop up out of nowhere that were a lot of fun. When you remember this season, you'll remember how it ended, but you will remember the fun that you had. And right across town, it's kind of like, hey, if I can have fun and compete, why not have the best of both worlds and get paid more?
Right. And I think what Lou is probably referring to is that people confuse when you're happy with a player for like a three-day stretch.
Wait, should I have been fired up to get Eniel De Los Santos? Right. We didn't add anybody at the deadline. And Jazz made an immediate impact. Nobody else to celebrate.
Right, and of course you're going to be happy with someone that makes an impact. That's the point of being a fan. I troll about that all the time, but the point about being a fan is you're going to be happy when your players
Bernie Williams
well.
Is my favorite player. Derek Jeter was my favorite player. Judge was my favorite player, but I saw his true colors again in the postseason. He's not like that. He's not a dog. He's not a killer yet.
Yet. And you wonder if that's going to change for Judge in the postseason because he was so, so bad, minus obviously the Class A home run in Cleveland.
Let this be the thing. He said, I will remember this till I die.
He should. And that's something that maybe in time, it's like an immediate maturation moment of like, you know what? This is on me. Like, this is on me. Like, I need to catch that ball. I need to I need to actually perform in the postseason.
He goes. He is superhuman. They look up to the guy, literally and figuratively. He's the tallest guy, biggest guy in the room. He's larger than life. He hits 58 homers in the season. He's got a ridiculous OPS.
I'll tell you what, he can't be. He's probably not too happy either that Giancarlo overshadowed him by a large margin in the postseason.
No, that's awkward because we're chanting MVP, MVP for Stanton.
Not for Judge.
Stanton was the MVP of the ALCS, not Judge. 888-808-1019. Let this be the thing that drives Judge crazy because you've been to the top of the mountain now. There was nowhere further to go. So you know now when you get back to the World Series, F it. Who cares? What are you nervous about? What are you pressing for? What are you swinging out of your shoes for, Judge? You can't have 20 strikeouts in the postseason. You can't be the MVP of the regular season and be a negative in the postseason. He's about to have his first child. You guys hear me talk about my son. You hear Lou talk about his son. Anybody that's listening, you know you really became a man when that baby popped out, when you saw that baby for the first time and you took care of that baby. I look at my son right now, and he's not a baby anymore. He's a monster. He's violent. He does physical harm to me and my wife daily. I'm like, what have we done? Seriously, Paul, y'all. I'm like, what have we done? Even tonight, bro, I thought I was going to take a nap before I came here. I had to fight my son from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock to go to sleep. I'm like, he's getting stronger. He's getting crazier. He's on his own time. But what I'm saying is, Judge is about to go through that experience this offseason. His wife is about to give birth. He's about to become a father. And when you do have that experience, it changes your perspective on life. I look at people completely differently now. Every time I say God bless you to people that I meet that are parents. Some of you guys call and I'm like, God bless you. A shout out to all the parents because I understand how hard it is. I understand what it does to you as a person. I hope it does something good for Aaron Judge. 888-808-1019. 2 hours to go. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Call up. We'll be right back.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.